Welcome to the Tailored Life Podcast, the one and only fitness and nutrition podcast that goes way beyond just training and nutrition and helps you create a life by design. I am your host, Cody McBroom. I am a trainer, a nutritionist, a father, a husband, entrepreneur, and somebody who is obsessed with personal growth and development. I am obsessed at getting better, and I am obsessed with helping others do the same, all with the goal of living an above average life. Today is it's kind of like an interview, but it's an interview of me. So this is actually a podcast. I'm stealing the recording from my good friend, Cody Smith. So I will link his Instagram. I will link his podcast, all that, his information in the description and show notes of this episode, because this is an episode I did for his podcast. He was over at the facility recently and we were just hanging out, shooting content, masterminding, doing what two good friends who are both entrepreneurs do, especially when they're both in the fitness space. But it's really cool because he interviewed me on a topic that I haven't actually done an episode on. And I think you guys are going to really like it, whether you are somebody who wants to compete in a physique sport or not. So Cody is getting ready to, this guy's insane. So as I'm recording this, he's like literally a couple days away from writing a, as I'm recording this intro, not the episode, because we recorded the episode a couple weeks ago. But as I'm recording this intro, he's literally just a couple days away from running a race. So an endurance race. I don't know how many miles this one is. I don't know if it's a full marathon, half marathon, what it is. But I do know he's running 100 miles next week for charity, like back to back. And then we have a week break in between that and us starting his prep to get on stage. So before this race and this charity run, he was I was coaching him. I was doing his programming and everything for bodybuilding purposes to add some size. And then he had to start getting ready because we were doing very minimal running while we were doing that, obviously. Then he had to start getting ready for this race and run that he is doing, the series of runs, I should say, because it's 2 weeks back to back. And then after that, it's back to bodybuilding style prep. So I'm going to take the training back over, take over his diet, all that stuff. And he will be competing in November in men's physique, which I'm really excited about. It's going to be cool because I get to help him. He came and watched and supported me and it inspired him, which he's going to talk about in this episode. And he's just one of those guys, man, that just like, he just wants to check off the boxes. He wants to be a human being that has done it all. It's wild. I mean, he has done CrossFit at a lower level, but like local competitive level, owned CrossFit gyms, mixed martial arts. So he's actually fought in MMA fights, like literally competed as an MMA guy, athlete fighting in the ring. He has done numerous runs, marathons, half marathons, all that kind of stuff. He is, I don't want to misquote this, I believe a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu ranking, I don't know a lot about. I know more about how to train them because that's all I've done from the gym perspective. But he is up there. He owns a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu side of his gym along with the functional fitness side. I mean, this dude just does it all. It's amazing. And it's just so cool to be friends with him and see him do this stuff. So he is having me put him on stage. And we're going to talk about it today. So it's literally like the beginner's guide to prepping for a physique competition. And whether you are looking to compete in men's physique or bodybuilding or women's physique, figure, bikini, anything, this is going to have a lot of golden nuggets for you because it's going to have a lot of things that you can take away and learn from when it comes to accomplishing a very, very serious body composition goal, how long it'll take, how to prep, how to look at the timeline, what to know, when you should do something like this, when you absolutely shouldn't, what some of the diet changes and training changes and cardio variables are, how we're going to do this with a hybrid athlete like himself, and then just everything in between with two coaches having just their normal banter and transformation talk. So you're really, really going to get a lot out of this. Again, I'm going to link his podcast, which this already aired on, in the description of this podcast because he has myself and other really cool guests on that show and just a lot of really good knowledge. The guy is unbelievably smart. And if you like this podcast, I know you'll like his. So I'm going to link that, his Instagram, all that good stuff in the description. And without further ado, let's get into the interview. Cody and Cody, once again, Cody McBroom being interviewed by Cody Smith.
All right, what's up, you guys, and welcome back to the show. Today, I have a repeat guest, my brother and good friend, Cody McBroom, on the show today. Most of you guys who have been following me for quite some time know that currently I am prepping for an ultramarathon, but in the future, I'm going to be prepping for my first physique show. Last year, I had the opportunity, would you say, was that cornering? What would you call, like, helping your friend out at the bodybuilding show or just coming to support? Is there a name for it?
You were like my hype man.
Crewing?
Yeah.
Like when you go to somebody's like running event, and you're like crewing them.
I don't know. I don't attend running events.
Yeah. I was there for more.
I think support. Of rap. I think of like Flavor Flav. He was the hype man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was just there to cheer my good friend on. And you looked jacked last year, by the way, bro. It was awesome.
Thank you.
Not that you don't now, but.
A little fluffy.
Yeah. I mean, thick, two C's.
Yeah.
But I was super inspired last year, like going and seeing that physique show. I was like, man, not only was it cool to see like my good friend, because I feel like a physique show, like you're at tip top discipline. You really got to do things that 99% of the population is not willing to do to get there. And to see you do it, I just, in that moment, I realized like, if I'm ever going to continue, let me rewind. If I'm going to push myself and continue to take that next step as like a person, a leader, a coach, that's something I feel like I need to experience because like that's tip top discipline to me. Right. And I was super inspired by it. And I decided that, hey, I'm going to do my first physique show after this ultra marathon. So Cody and I were texting last few weeks ago and I said, hey, Cody, I'm coming out to HQ. Let's do a podcast and let's talk about kind of what the plans are going to be. Because obviously if I'm going to do my first show, I'm going to have my best friend take care of me and be able to point me in the direction that I'm supposed to go. So Cody, welcome to the show.
Thank you, man. I'm excited. I read through the questions. I was like, let me make sure I have answers to all this shit first. But yeah. I'm excited to kind of go over the plan. And it'll be cool, too, because since we haven't started, this is, like, very raw of how are we going to approach the physique show. And, you know, it's funny. I was talking to somebody about this. Like, as a coach, physique competitors in many ways are the easiest people to work with for 90% of the prep because it's math, it's numbers. Like there's not it's so much more about the individual being motivated and consistent, right? And disciplined than it is the coach being like, I guess I should say it because there's some coaches who just don't know what the hell they're doing. But as long as you understand the fundamentals of like training and volume and mechanical, like what are we going to do to make sure we put on muscle in the off season? When it comes time to prep, it's almost like, okay, you got to be pretty dumb to lose muscle, you know, at least at the front end, at the very tail end.
Or you got to run like 30 or 40 miles or 40 or 50 miles per week.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. Let's put it in context. If we're looking at a hybrid athlete, you do got to be pretty smart to not lose muscle.
Yeah.
But when we're just talking bodybuilding, it's like, you just got to train at least half as much. Right. Yeah. And fat loss is numbers, and you can almost take out some of the, I mean, you know how it is when you're coaching people, there's a lot of empathy. There's a lot of the psychology behind getting people to adhere and stay consistent to a diet is half the game with coaching clients fat loss when it's a gen pop person. But when somebody comes to you and they're like, I'm an athlete and I'm going to step on stage, they're not screwing it up. Like they're disciplined. They're going to adhere. It's just, you know. And then you get to that last like 4 weeks at most. And it's like the most pressure because they're getting on stage. And if they're not ready by then, you didn't plan things right.
I was about to say, like you've done all of this work. You've done all this grind, the training, the nutrition. I'm sure there's supplementation in there. Like you've done all the things and now you've got to display it with maximum expression.
Yeah.
Like, that's the part of this entire thing that I'm the most stressed out about is like, what if I'm not jacked enough? What if I am not lean enough? What if I've spent all of this time preparing for this one time to walk on stage and I'm not there? And it's not saying that like, I don't think you'll get me there. It's like, what if some or unforeseen circumstance happens and there's something that gets in the way of that, or yet my body doesn't respond a certain way. Like I'm super stressed out about that part.
But you also have, I mean, we both do. We talk about this all the time, extreme ownership. So if you got to that position, you would say, what didn't I do to be ready?
Sure.
Right. Most people, my coach didn't get me ready, you know, and me being me, I'm like, I didn't get him ready, you know? Yeah. So there is a pressure on both ends when you're a real serious athlete or a real serious coach. And the more muscular the class or category, the more nitty gritty it gets towards the end. Truthfully, you should be able to just, if you do it right, in my opinion, you should be ready beforehand so you can just kind of walk right on stage. I just had a lady compete last weekend at the Jay Cutler Classic. She should have placed way better than she did. She did place. She did great. She looked way better. It's clearly political, which happens, especially at big shows.
But I say you hear that a lot about like the bodybuilding physique.
Unfortunate.
Community.
Yeah. And when you're like, you know, this isn't the best marketing plug, but when you're going into a competition representing Tailored Coaching Method, it's not the most well-known company in the bodybuilding space because that's not what we do for the most part, right? It's what I do with some people, but the person who won the show didn't even go to the pre-judging in the morning. That's how you know it was rigged. Interesting. Because I was like, wait, why did she win? I didn't see her in the picture. She's like, oh yeah, I forgot to tell you. She didn't even show up to the pre-judging. I'm like, well, you can't win if you're not at the pre-judging. That's when they judge you. And then in the finals, you come out and they already know who they're going to pick. They just call you out and pick you in front of everybody. It's like, and maybe make some like small decisions if they're like, if you about two people, like first and second, we don't know who's going to be first, who's going to be second. But you definitely don't win if you don't show up to the morning show. You got to be there. So it was unfortunate. But, you know, we were like 3 weeks out and I'm like, there's nothing to do. And we're not going to have to do a peak week. We're not going to do anything. Like you're eating, I mean, she's still eating 185 grams of carbs. Mm-hmm. And as a female, like that's a good amount. I was eating less than that for my show. I was like, we're crushing it right now. We did this perfectly. She looked healthier than the other people in her face because she wasn't like just struggling. She was hungry. Don't get me wrong. But, so it was really cool. And since she was bikini, there's really no peak week. People will screw up their physique because they're like, all right, let's start manipulating things. It's like, well, if you're already progressing, why would you not just do what you've been doing to continue progressing? You know, and when
like
you're
why change anything?
Exactly. And when you're a bikini, you also don't have so much muscle that you got to worry about carb, sodium, water manipulation, all that kind of stuff nearly as much. Even I would say even bodybuilding categories, you still don't want to worry about it too much because that's where people really screw themselves. But you know, going from bikini to figure or men's physique or bodybuilding, that's where carb loading and all these kind of tricky things start to come into play because it's not just being lean enough like bikini, it's also having density and full muscles. So it's like, okay, how do we make sure you fill out last minute while not looking bloated or retaining a bunch of water subcutaneous, right, over the muscle,
sure,
under the skin? And that's where there is a lot of pressure because you're like, oh shit, this is like half science, half bro.
I was just super inspired last year because, you know, you hear a physique competitor, bodybuilding, the first thing you think, now the bodybuilding, those guys were big. They were big muscular guys. Like I'm 6'5". And I've shared this with you. Like I've always struggled with, man, how do I put on more muscle? But at the same time, like there's always been running. There's always been CrossFit. Yeah. There's always been something like endurance based, cardio based that maybe has taken energy away from me truly putting time into lifting. What was very cool is that this past year when I made that push, what was it like October, maybe to January. And I let you took over my programming and I was doing like a lot of lifting. My mileage was maybe 10 or 15 miles a week. It wasn't a ton. Just that short time of like truly lifting 4 or 5 days a week and like watching things change, people starting to comment like, man, shoulders are looking good. Like, I think I came out here and you're like, man, like, you are looking thicker. I noticed it in your videos. And I was like, thanks, man. Like, you told me I'm looking big. You can never tell a woman that. You tell a guy that. We love it, right? So it was the first time that I truly got to like embrace lifting without all the cardio stuff. And even diet wasn't 1,000% dialed in. There was some days where I was getting lax. We were doing some traveling and stuff. But it was cool to see that kind of take root. So now moving into it, I'm like, okay, I don't have to be this mass monster. I can go up there. I'm a big guy already. If I put on some muscle and I lean out, like how would I look? And you've even said a couple of times, like, because I am so big, I might completely take the stage because I'm like such a big guy that can draw some attention. Is that kind of what you were saying before?
Yeah. It depends all on who else signs up for the show. Mm. So for example, let's say, how tall are you again? 6'5", you say, right?
6'5". Yeah.
So let's say the next tallest guy is 6'1", then it's going to be like 6 foot and up. So you're going to have like 6'6", 6'1", and then you.
Yeah.
You're going to look way bigger than all those guys, which is great. But let's say there's a guy who's 6'4", another one who's 6'3". They might put you guys in your own separate category if there's a certain amount of people over a certain height.
Yeah.
So it ultimately depends, right? So if there's like, let's say if it's a huge show and there's 5 to 10 people that are 5'6", 5'7", 5'8", 5'9", like every height to the inch is going to have its own category.
Yeah.
And then the competition is more difficult. So it totally depends. I also, this is where like, I think the intricate things play a big role because when you are tall, we know what muscles are going to be more predominant, what ones aren't. We know which ones are going to be more easily visible on stage. We know posing is obviously going to help, but if we can put more volume towards the muscle groups that we know other tall guys would have a weak point with, you go stand on stage and it's a clear, you know, he crushed it, like, yeah, without a doubt. So for example, probably the chest is going to be a big one that I would say. Typically guys with long arms have big lats. It's just a long muscle. It's shaped like a fan, which means like the way the lever works, you're just going to get a lot of lat activation. Also too, with like doing deadlifts and stuff, you're going to get a lot of lats in those because your arms are having to reach so far down. Mm-hmm. A bench press is going to be very difficult for you because you just got a long distance to travel, right? So bench press, for one, probably not the best exercise to use to build your chest, but if we know that because most people go to the basic movements to build their chest, and when you're tall, you're not going to be able to utilize those with enough tension and volume, we're going to have to get nitty gritty and use, like we did a lot of this, unilateral flies, unilateral presses, positioning yourself with a different bar or anything to create a bigger stretch on the muscle. And we can make your chest massive compared to the other really tall guys. God forbid you are on stage and there just happens to be four other 6'5" men's physique competitors, which probably won't happen.
I'm going to hope not on that one.
I would probably doubt it. So it, you know, it really depends. There's always, and then there's always genetics too, because you got to think too, there could be, so for example, my frame, the way, like this sounds so weird, but the length of my torso and the width of my shoulders is really ideal. So it almost doesn't even matter about my height, because for men's physique specifically, I'm basically going to easily get that Dorito shape.
Yeah.
'Cause I got wide shoulders and I have a tiny waist when I get lean, but I have a pretty long torso, which stretches it out, even though I'm not tall, right? If we went to bodybuilding, I might not have as much of an advantage because my legs aren't where they should be, for example. But nonetheless, it's such a proportions thing. It depends on the judges, but I think that most likely you're probably gonna be the only dude that's that tall. And good. I think if we work on the right things that most tall guys don't have,
we're gonna stack the chips in my favor.
Yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to kind of start here. So the goal with this episode that we were kind of talking about before is, you could easily say that there's not a lot of physique or bodybuilding based people that listen to me. And I can even think for myself, like there's preconceived notions of like, hey, I'm not muscular enough. Hey, I'm not big enough. Hey, there's all these probably likely like false beliefs that I have around what it would actually take to step on stage. And I can't put my finger on, for me, what got me to the point to where like, hey, I'm just going to like disregard those things and I'm going to do it anyways. But, I want to kind of come to this show through the lens of like, if there was somebody listening to this, or there are other first time competitors or people that, would be interested in competing in a physique show or something like that. Just some knowledge and some things that they can take away to kind of put into maybe their decision of whether they do it or maybe in their training.
Yeah.
So I want to start first and foremost with something. So something I noticed, an observation that I made that was like, when I was sitting there, as far as the physique competitors were concerned, it didn't seem as if, like what I imagine how a physique person was going to look, at least for the amateur category, it felt like there was just regular guys up there that just got really lean and maybe didn't do a ton, like weren't these massive bodybuilders. Like even I thought for physique, it would be these massive guys. And it was just guys that looked athletic, guys that looked fit. And in my head, I was like, well, I'm athletic, I'm fit. If I get super lean, I bet I could be up there on stage too. So when you're looking to take on somebody who's wants to do physique or body, like me, I come to you and I'm like, Cody, I want to do this thing. Are there any prerequisites or things that a person should already have or already should be doing before they ever step on stage? Or is it just purely, hey, I'm going to do this thing because I want to do it. There's nothing you would say that person has to do other than just start training. Like where are there prerequisites for stepping on stage the first time? And if so, what are there?
Yeah, there definitely is. I think that a lot of it is psychological, which we can get into. I think that as far as, you know, you made a good point with the muscle aspect. I find that most people, if you've been training, I don't care what kind of training you do, if you've been training for numerous years, 2-3+ years, you probably have more muscle underneath the layer of fat than you realize, you know? And once you start getting leaner, you start seeing more and more of that. I mean, shit, even if you think of like this used to be the thing, it probably isn't anymore. So any young listeners probably don't get this, but Brad Pitt from Fight Club, that was like, that's what guys want to look like.
Yeah, dude. Give me like some of that. You know what I mean?
It was on like every Facebook ad back in the day for transformations and stuff. But if you actually look at his physique, he's just kind of skinny.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see his muscle because he's so lean, but he's not jacked, really. He's just super lean. So knowing that, and if you took that physique and you just taught that person how to flare their lats, because whether they built their lats up or not, they're there. Teach them how to flare them and position their body. They look big. You know what I mean? So a lot of it is an illusion, right? Physique posing is creating the illusion that you're bigger than you actually are, right? Hence why when I take a selfie or anything like that, I look way bigger than I actually am, which I love, because it's like I wear a baggy shirt and it's like, oh, it's just a normal dude, whatever. And then I take off my shirt or I'm in a tank lifting and it's all of a sudden it's like, whoa, that dude is huge. Mm-hmm. And it's an illusion, right?
Yeah.
Put somebody bigger than me next to me and I don't look that big either. But point being is I think most people have that underneath there. Now, the prerequisite is some kind of training. You know, even for you, you've never done like strictly bodybuilding to the point where that all your training volume per week was going towards the goal of hypertrophy, right? But even if you came to me and we're like, hey, prep starts in a week because of the timeline and we couldn't do that kind of training, we'd start training that way just so we can emphasize those muscles. You'd do better posing because you'd have a better mind muscle connection. And you'd probably recomp a little bit. You know, you'd build muscle even in a deficit. You never trained that way. But regardless, you'd still have that musculature. Like when I think of my first show, dude, I did a 4-day upper lower split, which was a 5-3-1 program with some bodybuilding accessory work. Like I didn't train like a bodybuilder back then because that's just not how I trained. I just dieted for the show and I looked great and I got shredded and I looked jacked, but I could have been bigger if I did bodybuilding. So I think regardless, people are going to have that. You just have to have some kind of training experience. And I would say you also have to have some kind of dieting experience, because if you've never tracked macros before, if you've never followed a meal plan before, if you're like fresh into this, like it's just not, to me, this is what I always tell people with, you know, this is an exaggeration to say for CrossFit, but it's like going from I've never trained before, I'm a couch potato, to like, I'm going to start training like a CrossFit competitor. I'm going to start doing the WOD and like sign up for a local competition.
Yeah.
It's like me saying like, I've never played football, but my goal is to make the NFL. Like you can't just go from 0 to 100. Obviously that's a stretch, but if you've never done anything, I think it's just going to be overwhelming because you're going from 0 to 100. So you got to have some kind of skin in the game, and you shouldn't just do it because you think that's going to lead you to a weight loss goal you want. So I think if somebody is listening and they're like, well, I need to lose 40 pounds just to be healthy, and you know, I'm going to set a goal of getting on stage for Do Bikini Show because that'll push me to do it. I don't think that's the right approach. You need to figure out why you're unmotivated and undisciplined and lacking consistency. Work on that and just get to your goal. And if you get to your goal, you're lean, you're in a healthy spot, and then you want to compete for the sport, do it. But like, even for you, like you're not doing this so you finally get in shape. You're doing this because you want to push yourself and your the mental side and the physical side in another realm. Same with the people on your team that are doing it.
Yeah.
And I think that's totally fine. So that's why I do it too, you know? So I think there's different elements, but the psychology behind that is just so important, man, because people come out of a bodybuilding show with a more resilient mindset or with body image issues. And usually the only time body image issues and all that stuff happens is if they've never dieted before, they've never followed a program before, they've never had anything structured, and then they just go into that. And they do it usually the old school approach, right? But I don't know, does that answer the question?
Yeah, no, that for sure does, because I think, like even for me in my head, I was always just of this train of thought of like, you know, I need to have been training bodybuilding for X amount of years to ever step on stage. Whereas like what I'm hearing you say is that it's not necessarily like you have to already be a bodybuilder. You just have to be like familiar with the weight room.
Yeah.
You have to have met resistance. You would have to have done some form of training to develop some sort of muscle, because if I have nothing and I step on stage, there's nothing to shred.
Correct? Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also too, like it depends what's the goal outcome here. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like if you came to me and you were like, I want to win, and then I want to do another show and win, I would say, dude, you're not doing this marathon. Like,
yeah.
Come on. Yeah. You know? So like for me, for example, I got off stage in November. I went on stage in November. We reversed, spent some time in health, and now I'm intentionally gaining weight. I'm in a position where this is like where I'm at right now is not sustainable. I have a little too much fluff in my opinion. It's not like there's times where it's not comfortable to me. There's times where I'm enjoying the food and I'm enjoying the training for sure. But this is the first time actually, I will even say this. There's meals where I'm like, I don't really feel like eating. Like I don't even want to eat. Mm-hmm. Which is crazy.
That's an interesting place to be.
Dude, I've never been in this place before. Yeah. And I'm like, bro, I don't even want to finish this. Like, there's been days where I'm like, I don't want to finish my meal at dinner. Shannon's like shocked.
Yeah.
She's like, what?
I'm
like,
who is this man that's sitting across me right now? Yeah.
Dude, it's just a lot of food. But like, I know what my long-term goal is. It's to get back on stage. And like, big picture thinking is I want to go for my pro card, you know, whether I get my pro card or at least get qualified to compete for a pro card. Like, that would be the most important thing. But more than anything, I want to outdo my last physique. Like, that's the whole point. So for me, it's a very meticulous process. It isn't just, well, you just got to get shredded and whatever you got under there is good. No, it's like, I literally have to get on stage shredded and heavier than last time by at least a certain amount of weight, because otherwise, what have I done the last year and a half?
Sure.
You know what I mean? So, but for people just doing a show that, like, because you're going to this, you're not like, I'm going to be a repeat competitor. You're going to this, like, I'm going to check this off my bucket list.
The goal is like, this is something I was actually thinking about this today. Like, why is this show so important to me? I think of, like, life for me is like, there's this resume, right? Yeah. Like, we talk, you know, hear Steve talk about, like, when I get to heaven, I'm sitting in front of God. Like, what is God going to say? Like, you know, that I did with my gifts, my talents, and my treasures. I think one of my talents is, like, I'm completely okay with sharing everything that is on my mind or that I'm experiencing or that I'm trying out. I just want to kind of show it to the world. Funny enough, yesterday I was telling Megan that I got this drone and I'm going to take it with us. And when we're walking on the beach and we've got the family, we're going to do this cool thing. And she's like, do you have to put everything about our life on the internet? Yeah. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Some people are inspired by that. Some people like love to see that kind of stuff. And they, like, when I don't post anything, they ask about it. So for me, it's this, I want to endlessly fill my resume of life with all of the things that I'm doing or I have done. And I want people to be able to look at that and be like, man, that guy's disciplined. Like, he's somebody that I want my kids around, or a place that his gym is a place that I would want to go train because he values the same thing I value. And so that's kind of the goal, is an experience that I want to put on my resume, but to truly see if I focus on hypertrophy alone for a period of time, what can that do for my body? Because I've never seen, I know what it can do now. If I run, I could run for hours and hours and hours and be fine. I know what it can do for me with CrossFit. I know what it can do for me in MMA and Muay Thai and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu,
right?
But I've never truly, like, sculpted my body, as you know, Arnold always talks about, like, sculpting my body. I've never done that. I've never said, like, I'm going to make the delt bigger, or I'm going to make my lats wider, or I'm going to grow my chest. It's always like, well, I need to be able to do more push-ups for Murph. I need to be able to do faster kipping pull-ups, or I need to make my legs stronger so that I can hike faster on my runs. Like, it's never been purely the aesthetic side of the house. And that, to me, like, is super, like, it's so exciting to think about that.
Well, and it's also one of the most difficult, because it's such a patience game, dude. Yeah. Like, how often I take measurements, for example, is like, okay, I took measurements. Now I got to hope in 4 weeks that I didn't just get fat and that my shoulders got bigger. You know what I mean? But, like, if I were to start running, I would see newbie gains there, right? Because I'm not a runner. And it would be like, damn, 2 days ago, I got this much time on my mile. And this time I cut it by 10 seconds. Like, I would see these fast adaptations, which doesn't happen with hypertrophy, you know, especially
it will, right?
Yeah. And it will, if you're new to that style of training, and especially if you're, like, brand new to any kind of training. But I got a question for you that I think will help just kind of like dive into that question of, like, why do you want to do this? And I'll share mine as well.
Yeah.
But first, they're going to get a little behind the scenes content. Can you move my tripod a little bit this way? I need to get it. Is your chair too close to the tripod? Or you can actually tilt it like this. Turn it like this. Here we go. A little bit more. There we go.
Beautiful.
Now it's kind of, can you tilt the camera? Or even, like, lower the tripod on your side just a little bit. It's like this, basically. No, that won't do it. I would just lower one of those just a little bit. I didn't center that. Perfect. And that?
IT department right
there. IT department. So, what do you think, for lack of better terms, God wants you to do on earth? Like, what is your purpose? And how does this tie into that? Because I've thought so deeply on this question for the last 6 months, because I've been constantly writing this story of Tailored, you know? Yeah. And so, like, to share mine briefly, like, as an example, I realized I actually had a mentor of mine, like, dig through my past with me. And it was so wild to see how, one, average everything in my life was and still is, unless I create change for it, or two, how disadvantaged I was. Like, it was the shit end of the stick, or I didn't get the handout or something, you know, or I was the unlikely candidate to do XYZ, but I still did it. Or it was just very average all around, you know, and the amount of, like, struggles and, like, negative things that have happened to me, good things that have happened to me, just normal things. Like, it's all been fitting into this story of the tailored life, which is to help people create above average lifestyles out of an average life, right? To look at your average body, average genetics, average lifestyle, and create an above average body and allow epigenetics to do the work, right? Epigenetics are the idea that your environment, your habits shape and change your genetics. So you're given genetics, but you can shape your environment. And over time, eventually that will shift how your genetics work for you. Because most people look at me and think I have good genetics.
Sure.
I don't. I mean, once upon a time, I would think I had shitty genetics because I was the chubby kid. You know what I mean? But when you do something.
It must be nice.
Oh, dude, that's the worst. You know that.
Previous podcast, guys. Yeah.
When you do something consistently enough, like, those don't stand in your way, right? And so it's all been in this thing. And so, like, I'll never forget, even like Shannon said, like, why are you doing this show? Like, I didn't take enough time to prep in my last show. I don't think we did the prep the way I would have done it. I prepped my clients a little bit better, in my opinion.
Sure.
And part of that whole thing is also like for example, if I had never coached you before and didn't know as much as I know about you, it'd be more difficult to prep you.
Yeah.
The more I know about a person, or the longer I work with somebody before I prep them, the easier the prep's going to be, right? We didn't have that opportunity with who I worked with. So there was that. And I still did really good. I placed second. I was happy with the result. So, but I mean, at the end, dude, I was fucking grinding. And I'll never forget, there was a day where I mowed the lawn and I got like halfway done. It was like 2 weeks out. I don't know why. I was just hard head. I'm like, I'm mowing this lawn. It's too long.
Pushing this thing. Can't nobody stop me.
Yeah. In November, I was like, this is the last mow of the winter. I got to do it. And I got halfway done, and I was so lightheaded and tired that it was getting dark because it was taking me forever. And I was like, I'm done. So I went in the other side so they couldn't see me. So I walked into our back, because our bedroom has a back door to the yard, and I was laying on the ground. Shannon walked in. She was like, oh my God, are you okay? And I'm just like on the floor. I'm like, no, but yes, I'll live. What is wrong? I was like, I'm fatigued. I'm tired. And I just remember being like, why are you doing this to yourself?
Yeah.
And it took a while for her to get it. I actually sent her a video of somebody else talking about it, and she understood. Like, it's a desire for more discipline. It's a desire to do hard things. There's a point to pain and suffering, right? And I like to prep people to make sure that they don't have as much of that as I can, but there's still times where you're going to be hungry. Deal with it. That's good for you. You know what I mean? It sharpens you. And so when I said I was going to do another one, she's like, are you kidding me? And we had to have a conversation multiple times. First, she was like, no way. I can't let you do it. I don't want you to go through it.
Sign on to this.
And I told her, I was like, hey, I know it's easier for me to say than you to believe, but it's going to be better next time. Like, trust me, I didn't prep in years and I just prepped. It's going to be better this time. But here's why I'm doing it. And I explained, like, if I do it again, because I did the first one intentionally when the business was making a bunch of shifts, we were contemplating moving, you had surgery. I had all these reasons why I probably shouldn't do it, but I wanted to show that no matter what is going on in your life, you can still chase like crazy goals and accomplish things if you just have discipline. Like, that's all it all boils down to. Now, if I come back a year and a half later and I outdo that last one, that's like the perfect version of the story. You know, I'm just consistently outdoing myself, because that's what this is about. And so, like, that is the whole purpose behind mine. And that was a long-winded rant or example, but sure. My point is like, now everything I do, like literally everything, I have a lens in front of it. And I'm like, does this help tell the story? So like you say, like when you know, Steve's up in heaven talking to God, same thing. Like, yeah. I want to be able to, like, I fulfilled my purpose. I laid out my story. I left my legacy. I impacted those who were around me because I did what I was supposed to do in every single situation. Because every single situation I could look at and go, does this tell the tailored story? Yes or no? No. Okay. Because, yeah, it's my company, but it's me, right? Yeah. Like, not I am the brand, but my purpose is the same thing as the company's purpose. You know what I mean?
Could you hit record again?
Yeah, I got you. For you, like, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think, so that's changed a couple times. And I think that's probably the hardest question I've ever, like, stumbled on for such a long time.
That's why I said it took me 6 months.
Yeah, and it could change. Like, I could say what I think it is now and kind of why I feel the fuel is there, but it very well could change in tomorrow, who knows. Where I'm at now currently is very similar to you. So years ago when we rebranded Virtuous and we went away from CrossFit Seven Cities to like the name Virtuous, the tagline that we like made for the gym is create yourself, which is very similar to Tailored Life, right? So I you know, Nick Bear has his Go One More and he writes it on stuff. I took that and I write Create Yourself on all of my hat, my running hats. So in the bill of my hat, there's Create Yourself. I hashtag it. So, you know, I did the power search thing with Warrior, you know, a couple years ago, and leadership tended to be the thing that everybody said about me, what I felt about myself, that was confirmed through a lot of you guys. So now my reason for doing the show is the same reason for doing the ultra marathon, is the same reason for running marathons. It's the same reason I'm going to run High Rocks next year. It's just like you, showing people that they can achieve above average results, even though people, the world would deem them as average. I look at this as an opportunity to show people that you truly can create the life that you want in your own personal space. It can be done literally through decisions and action. So if I can, I'm deciding to do this bodybuilding show because I believe that is the next level of me creating the next most powerful version of me. Discipline chasing is what I heard you say when you were talking about it a minute ago. So now for me, the goal is I want to continue to create an untrue Cody currently. Like me as a physique competitor, that's not yet a true statement. When I do that thing, now that I've made it into a true statement and I have achieved the discipline that I need to, like the character traits that come along with that are also going to be now a truth about me at that moment. So it's this continuous chase of creating myself and making it like making my life's resume undeniably, like I was undeniably useful with my time, my gifts, my talents, and my treasures. And through that, I am showing the people in my sphere, I'm leading by example, including my children. Like I always tell my son, like with my oldest boy, with his quarterback stuff, with his football stuff, because he's a high, you know, he's a high level competitor. I'm like, you have to be so good that they can't ignore you. So it's like, who am I to tell that to him? Or, you know, when I wake up my sons every morning, I say, wake up champion.
Yeah.
Like, and I sold it, I'm standing on shoulders of giants here. But I say that because the Smiths didn't come in, like, I did not make my children to be average men, right? So who would I be if I was being an average man, an average leader, an average coach, an average business owner, an average friend, average anything? That word average makes me want to like break a door. Like it just makes me so frustrated. And when I see people like being okay with being average, it drives me nuts. Yeah. So if all of those things are pet peeves of mine, if I'm preaching these things all the time to everybody in my sphere, and I'm going to truly embody the create yourself lifestyle, then I should lead by example. And that means trying things that like 6'5" Cody, CrossFit Cody, owns a CrossFit gym, does Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, is going to do a physique show. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I sure am. And I'm going to, maybe not going to go up there and win, but I'm going to freaking do it. I'm going to look good. And people around that can take note. My wife can take notice. My kids can take notice. My friends can take notice. I'm like, man, he freaking did it.
You should create I don't have this, so I'm not speaking from experience, but like I look at that like a why not list, because think of like things that people are like, you can't do that, dude.
Why not me?
Why not? Mm-hmm. Right? There's that old Kevin Hart interview on Joe Rogan where he's just doing all this stuff and Joe's like, why are you doing so many things? He's like, why not? Yeah. Somebody tells me I can't do something, why not? I gotta figure out how I can do it. And it's just like being able to stack those things up. Garrett said something the other day that sounds really bad, but it was such a cool way of putting it. He goes, I'd have to be an absolute moron to not outdo my dad. And you hear that and you're like,
damn, his dad's like solid, right?
Like yeah. And it's like, is that a shot at your dad? And he goes, and that's not a shot because my dad has carried me so far. Mm-hmm. His greatness is up there. And he brought me to there. And it's the same thing Josh Kraft says, right? Like our ceiling is our kids' floor. That's their starting point.
When you first said that to me, I like instantly, like it became like a primary like way of thinking for me of like the level to which I rise to is where my sons, and I can literally see that.
So he would have to be a moron to not outdo you because it's like, I'm going to carry you to as far as I can go in my lifetime.
Yeah.
And that's your like starting point. You get such a head start because of me, which is, that's the whole point of being a father, you know, is to build that up for your kid. But dude, like me and Shannon were sitting there watching church. And the second he said that, we both just looked at each other. We're like, man, that's the line. Our ceiling is her floor. And it's like, I love that, man, because to me, it's the same thing with like, you know, I want Blakely to get older and realize that Like, I didn't go to some big university. If she's doing something, like, your son should absolutely go to a big university as a football player, you know?
Even though
that's
a whole another conversation. Yeah.
Whatever Blakely ends up deciding to do, like, I want it to be like, no matter what, I can do it. And it's like, you can do anything you want when you grow up. Like, it's such a cheesy thing, but I literally want her to believe that, not because it's a cheesy thing I say, but because she watched me do it. You know, and when someday when she gets to hear my backstory, she'll realize like, oh no, the odds were against him too. And he still made it happen.
It's such an interesting dichotomy because like now as a kid, you're told you can do anything you want. You can do this and you can do that. And you can be the president and you can be an astronaut and all these things. But as I get older, I wish I could like, you know, like take shots from my eyes of what people who don't know me like well enough to know that when I say I'm going to do something, that thing's going to happen. But like when I say I'm going to do a physique show, they're like, oh, you can see the doubt in their eyes because maybe they've never been like, I'm around you and other people all the time that like, when they say they're going to do something, it's happening.
Yeah.
But when I say it to people, the same people that also scoffed at me when I said I was in a marathon and cause like I'm 6'5", 230 pounds. What am I doing running a 50K or a marathon? I'm huge. Like I'm the biggest guy out there every time. Right?
Bro, the
like,
fact that you did CrossFit to the level you did and running the way you do.
Yeah.
Bodybuilding would be easy, man.
Like, I mean, it feels good to get pumped every day.
Dude, I mean, the hardest part is dieting, right? Yeah. So being hungry at the end is the hardest part.
Yeah.
But like, that's part of, like, I truly believe that if you don't suffer at all in your life, you won't appreciate the gift life is, honestly. Like, and that's like not even going down the route of being biblical, you know, because obviously Jesus, but like suffering gives you a different lens. Like, why do you think it is that Jocko is Jocko and David Goggins is David Goggins and these other SEALs and these other people who have been through the craziest stuff or pushed their bodies to the most extreme places? Why is it that they're so wise? They have so much wisdom.
Do you ever listen to Billy Osbrooks?
Never heard
of
him.
He's like a motivational dude on Spotify, but he's got a song called Wake Up Champion. I actually play it sometimes for the boys and I wake them up for school in the morning. But there's a part in there where he says, like, you can't have a testimony without a test.
You've said that to me, dude. I love that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so think about you training for all these bodybuilding shows. I'm going to talk you into doing something. I always have these visions of, like, I'm going to come out here. We're going to do a vlog. I'm going to get Cody to run a 5K.
Like, but, dude, that's the thing like, when your life is about expansion, and we've said this years ago, life is about expansion. When your life is dedicated to growth, like, I can look at you and not say no, but just say not right now. And it's crazy for other people to look at that and be like, well, when? And I'm like, well, right now I'm training for a bodybuilding show that I'm going to do in a full year from now. And I've been off stage for a half year. So I just competed. I got to wait a year and a half before I compete again. And they're like, and then what? And then eventually I'll do that, but I'm gonna have to train for that too. So it's like, that's years and years away, but it's like, guess what? Like that is what growth is about. It's just a nonstop thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, why spend life any other way? I couldn't imagine otherwise.
So that's probably a good, like, why are you doing the show? It's just growth, right? Like that's one of our business core values. It's one of my family core values. I believe that you have a word that's probably associated to growth in your core value too. Like, it's just like, it fits. Like when I sit with my sons every Sunday at our family meeting and I say, this is what it means to be a Smith. This is like my opportunity to kind of walk that thing out.
Yeah.
Like be the person that I'm telling them to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's kind of move on to some more stuff here. How much more time do you got? You good?
We're good. Full hour.
Yeah. Okay. So going from, you know, I've been in this ultra marathon prep since January. My mileage last week was like, you know, close to 60 miles, right? Like usually it's somewhere between.
I texted you back. I said, this week?
Yeah.
You're like, yes, this week. I'm bro, what?
Yeah. So mileage has been really high and like even that's what my body can take. And we're running 4 days a week. There's guys that'll do 70, 80 miles. You know, that's a lot. I just find for my body, that's an adequate amount of wear and tear. But for me going from that into this bodybuilding prep, first question inside of this was like, do you think it's a good idea for me to keep up any mileage? Cause I do have endurance, things that I'd like to do after. Do you think it's a good idea for me to keep up any mileage? And then the second thing is what should be, like for a bigger guy, like I'm not shredded right now. I'm consistently between 228, 230 most days, which I think when you were coaching me before nutrition, I was probably 231, 232. So I've managed to keep most of my weight on through keeping my calories up. What do you think? Number one, should I keep my mileage? Is it okay to keep any sort of mileage to keep my cardiovascular where maybe not peak shape, obviously, but like some resemblance of it. And then the second question, where do you think is the most bang for our buck, considering the show is like in November? Like, where do you see my greatest potential for performing well when I step on stage?
Yeah. So I think the first question, how much running realistically can you do, right? How much mileage? There's plenty of research to prove this statement, but there's not research in this exact context. And when you get into the fitness realm, you'll realize there's a lot of research, but there's not research to ever provide the exact context of the individual, what they're doing, how they're doing it. But there's plenty. I mean, the human body is an adaptation machine. So I say that to say you've adapted because you've been running. So that question specifically for two different people, the person like you, who's like, I've been running for a long time, my body's adapted to it. I firmly believe your body is going to be less likely to lose muscle while running than somebody who comes to me and are like, hey, I'm going to set some goals. I want to be a hybrid athlete. And that means I want to run a marathon and then I want to run a bodybuilding show, but I'm going to prep for both of them at the same time because I'm Nick Bear. Like, no, you're not. I love Nick's stuff.
He's so
jacked. But he's an exact example of somebody who did not do running for a long time. So when he started running, he was so jacked. He probably lost some muscle, but he had plenty to spare.
Yeah.
So like his body maintained a great physique. So when people look at him, they're like, oh, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bodybuild and run. No. Just bodybuild. And then once you solidify those gains and you're like, your body's not going to give up that muscle easily, go start running. It's totally different. And it works in the reverse too. So I think we'll be able to maintain more mileage with you than the normal person. I'm probably not going to recommend a ton of it because we want to be optimal. But I do think your body's going to be pretty good about maintaining muscle while keeping some of that. And I like doing some cardio. I still do some cardio in my off season because there is an aspect of the aerobic capacity applying to training volume. If you have good aerobic capacity and abilities, you're going to be able to recover faster between reps, between sets, between days in the gym. You're actually going to be able to deliver nutrients and blood to the muscles more efficiently, your energy systems. That's what they do. So you probably actually would be able to accomplish more volume. You know what I mean? I believe that for that purpose, you don't need much and you don't want to do too much, but
I did feel that too. Like, you know, cause I did a marathon prep prior to like doing the lifting block and it was just 4 months or something like that. Like from October to January, I was like ready to go after 30 minutes, 30 seconds, 45 seconds after like a hard set, like a near failure set. I was like ready to go again. And then I also found that I was recovering super fast.
Yeah.
Like I felt good to go the next day and I was like, okay, there's a rest day here, but I could lift. And I think a couple of days, like I worked out with Noah one time and you're like, hey man, like watch on the extra stuff. And I was like, oh, sorry,
and
man,
that's
I just
a good
felt
example.
Good. Like blah, 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 blah. Like,
it's a perfect example, dude. Like if it was powerlifting or Olympic lifting, it might be different because that's so neurologically taxing where bodybuilding's not. It's more muscular, right? And so if your muscular system is constantly being taxed, but you are in a place where your body's delivering nutrients and oxygen and blood flow because your aerobic system's so good, you're going to recover faster, right? So I would say this, like in any situation, just like you know, going from bodybuilding into running prep, I'm going to say the same thing in reverse. What is the bare minimum mileage we need to do to make sure that you don't suck at running anymore? Because that is going to be more than enough to make sure your aerobic system's healthy, especially because you've already gotten such a good aerobic system. So we just need to do the bare minimum. But also we have to remember too, that cardio becomes a tool to burn fat and lose like calories later on. And so we have to have this delicate balance of like, okay, you want to keep some running in there because we need to work on your aerobic system, but just know there's going to come a point in prep where we actually want to increase cardio to burn more calories. So my approach to somebody like you is going to be removing as much as possible and just going like, hey, like, what do you need for your own sanity? I just need one long run a week. Okay, cool. Do one long run a week. That's it. And, you know, go with your wife and do it so you guys can have that time together. That's perfect. We're just going to lift because we're not going to have that much time before your actual prep starts.
Yeah.
When prep starts, we need to add cardio. So normally I would tell somebody, hey, we're going to get on the treadmill. We're going to walk on incline or do a bike because I want it to be like low taxing. You might want to use running for some of that and that's fine. But that's going to get added in as a way to burn calories.
Sure.
And a lot of times with guys like you, especially if we're like, okay, we want to try to build some muscle before we start prep and I want to maintain as much muscle as possible, I will actually just add cardio as the first way to burn calories, which is the opposite of what I ever do with Gen Pop because it's usually less accurate as far as how many calories you burn. But if I'm doing it in a prep, it's usually like, hey, you're going to go on a treadmill, 10% incline, 3 miles per hour speed for this exact length. I know that nothing's going to change. If you slow down because you're getting fatigued and the diet's going on, you're going to fall. Like, keep the speed up, you know? So, like, we know we can make it like it's a standardization. And that allows us to keep carbs up, which keeps our muscles full and our training good, which means that we maintain our muscle mass. Mm-hmm. So I like adding cardio in the beginning. So for you, it might just be shifting what kind of cardio we use, because there's a difference between a 30-minute run for burning calories at a certain heart rate that you're tracking and, like, running for 13 miles straight because that's casual for you or whatever. Yeah. You know,
like, I was thinking, like, I'd love to keep this is just where my brain was, because truly I don't, you know, I try to read as much research as I can, and there's a lot of, like, concurrent research that says, like, well, if there's you know,
4 to 6 hours at least,
the interference effect doesn't happen if there's a good time period in between. So I'm like, well, maybe I can keep some sort of mileage, but I don't want to do it to where I'm too fatigued to get a lot from my bodybuilding training too. So it's almost like I will do the most important thing first thing when I'm the most energetic, and the running will get whatever's left. I'd love to keep 10, maybe 15 miles a week. And that could be a 6 mile run, and I'm horrible at math. What is that? A 9 mile run on a Saturday or something like that. And maybe even less. Maybe I do a couple 3 mile runs, which will take me 30 minutes, you know, so I can get those things done.
See, and we'll have to track some metrics first too, because like a 6 mile run for me versus for you, like, that is a longer duration of cardio for me. That is more taxing on my joints and on my nervous system for me. It's going to burn way more calories for me because I'm not adapted to that yet. You know what I mean? So, like, and that's the same reason why I might need more volume in the gym than you to build muscle, because I'm more adapted to that. So it's like, we would have to track that first and go, hey, go on that casual 6 mile run. I want to know your heart rate, see how many calories you burn on your Garmin. Like, we know it's not perfectly accurate, but let me get some gauge of what that looks like from an expenditure perspective. And then we can set parameters.
And I actually have tons of data. I use Coros now instead of Garmin. Yeah. But there's, like, tons of data. Like, I've got an entire year's worth of data and mileage that I could kind of share with you.
Yeah.
If you
need it. Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's a different ball game. You know what I mean? But yeah, essentially we would just keep whatever we need to keep just to make sure you maintain some of that cardiovascular and aerobic ability. And again, make sure that we don't, like, use a tool that we want to use later on.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the second question, I can't remember.
Second piece of that was, For me coming out of...
Oh, what's most important?
Yeah, like, I'm 3 days a week, full body training. I was doing your stuff, and then I did some stuff for a course I was going through. And then now I'm just kind of making up some stuff as I get ready, because I'm 2 weeks out from the ultra marathon now. So now I'm kind of just sticking with full body, actually using some of the exercises that you gave me before, with, like, a lot of the single arm, like straight arm lat pull down, things like that. So with that, moving into out of ultra marathon prep into preparing for this bodybuilding show, where do you see... Or, like, the things that I can get the most bang for my buck in, whether it be training, nutrition, exercise selection, things like that.
So because of the time frame, right, because it's in November, the show, and basically we're going to start at the end of April.
End of April, yeah.
So let's say May. May, June, July, August, September, October, or November, October. I'm losing my mind.
October, 6 months.
Okay, six months. So 6 months for a prep, some people will actually take 6 months. I don't think you'll need that. Mm-hmm. But I like taking 4 to 5 months. You know, there's some people do good with 6 months. Like, I might be a good candidate for 6 months only because I spent a year and a half.
When you say prep, give some framework around, like,
when you literally think prep, dieting for the show, losing body
like
fat.
Dialed in, like, losing weight, the whole thing.
Yeah. Okay. 6 months would allow us to have a diet break. We can go at a slower pace. I personally, there's two personality types. There's the shotgunner and there's the slow and steady. You know, there's the tortoise and the hare. Neither one of them outperforms the other in this scenario. It's more of, like, what your personality type is. I'm not the tortoise. I'll get bored. I want to see progress. I want to move. So for me, it's like, what is the most weight I can lose per week, knowing for sure I'm not losing muscle? That's what I'm going to go with, right? And then I'm going to get ready 3 to 4 weeks early. Like, that's what I would approach it at. Most people who want to compete, that's their mindset. You know what I mean? So for you, it's probably going to be, I would say we start 5 months out purely because that gives us enough time. Like, the perfect world scenario is we get ready, let's say 4 weeks ahead of time. You're already lean enough. We can actually start reversing your calories, which means you might gain 2 to 3 pounds going into the show purely of just muscle, AKA glycogen, because we just increased carbs going into the show. You basically reverse diet into the show. You look fuller, more vascular. It's way less stressful. That's perfect world scenario. And if you start 5 months out, you know, you're going to be able to probably do that.
Sure.
So that's going to be one big piece that is going to help you. The other thing would be spending the month before that happens, probably like 4 to 6 weeks, you know, like all of May and then a little bit of April, let's say, just trying to standardize everything and build muscle. So it's like, hey, let's keep a little bit of running in. Let's track the data, see where you're at while doing the bodybuilding, because your heart rate, your calories burn, all that stuff's going to change a little bit if you're doing a different kind of training. Increase volume overall. And then exercise selection for you is going to be a big thing because you're tall. Longer limbs, we just have to consider like the range of motion just changes, you know? So certain exercises are going to be more favorable than others. And now that we have so much research showing the stretch portion of a movement is just super important for muscle growth, we have to look at all those things and go, okay, for a bench press, again, for example, your arms are so long, by the time you get into that stretch position, dude, you've been benching for twice the distance as me.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
So it's like, what can we do to enhance that? Well, we could go single arm. We could do an incline. We could use a cambered bar. We can do single arm flies instead of, you know, and turn your body a little bit. There's a lot of little things that we can do. We can use dumbbells instead of barbell, believe it or not, or Smith machine if we have access to it. There's a ton of different stuff we can do. So choosing exercises properly and then standardizing the diet. And this is the hard part for some people, but if you're a pretty routine and regimented person, one of the best things I think you can do is basically follow a meal plan from the start. Because in my experience, if I put you into a meal plan that doesn't really put you in a big deficit, I have a guy that's doing this right now, actually. Like, we didn't create a deficit. We're in the quote unquote primer phase. He's been losing 1 to 2 pounds a week already, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and he's not getting ready for a show, but he's dialed in. He's a trainer. He's like, I want to like look the part, quote unquote, you know? And it's just because we've just refined everything. So his digestion is better, his sleep is better, his training is better. He's burning more calories throughout the day because his body's getting used to the foods he's eating. And it's just a meal plan, which makes me be able to adjust it way easier. And you start making progress before having to go into a big cut. And then when it's time to adjust, and I say we're dropping 25 carbs, literally can go, hey, on meal three, drop a quarter cup of rice. It's so simple. It's like there's no like guessing game. It's robotic.
Would you suggest a meal plan for like most people who are doing shows and things like that? Because I remember, and I don't want to like misquote you, but I remember something you said to me was that it's important from like a gut health perspective and from, I guess, like a control perspective of like having the same sort of things that you eat or the same sort of things that your body has to digest and stuff like that. Do you think it is a good practice for somebody listening to this who maybe is getting ready to do their first show or maybe thinking about it? They're kind of on the fence like me. Do you think it's a good practice to be on a meal plan? And if so, why?
I do. I think it is. You can definitely do a flexible approach if you're really good with tracking macros and all that stuff. It's more tedious, to be honest with you, even though people would assume not. But like when you eat the same thing every day, you don't got to think about it. It's going to be better for gut health for a couple of reasons. One, if we set a meal plan, we can make sure whatever we need to keep your gut healthy, it's in the diet. And we know that for sure. It's not going anywhere. And then the other side of it, if there's a gut issue, we're not guessing what it is. We know exactly what you're consuming on a day-to-day basis. If we want to see a consistent trend on the scale, we don't have different foods causing different amounts of water fluctuation, weight fluctuation, sodium retention. Everything's the same every single day. So the only reason we would have a crazy fluctuation on the scale is if there's something hormonal or stress-related going on. Right. Or it's a brand new program. You have a ton of DOMS, but it's way easier than going, okay, well, you're not sore. You got great sleep. What the hell is causing this?
Yeah.
Let's figure it out. Right. We also know that that's going to make your bowel movements very regular, where it's like this person goes once a day, twice a day. It's the same kind of poop every day at the same time. Like everything is consistent. So we're literally just standardizing everything, right? There's even research to show insulin sensitivity does improve. And so does your total daily energy expenditure, mostly around meal timing versus the same foods. But I would probably believe that it's going to go up even more if it's the same foods. But like having set times that you're eating every day, they notice an improvement in your circadian rhythm. They notice improvement in your total daily energy expenditure, which means you burn more calories day to day by eating at the same times, which makes sense. If you eat at the same times, your body gets used to when it's taking in energy and it starts utilizing that energy better, right?
Are these all things that you do with like your bodybuilding? Because I know, I know that you and I understand that your company does all things, right? You work with General Pop and then Advanced General Pop, and then you also have your bodybuilding people. For most of your bodybuilding people, is it reasonable to say like I'm going to put you in a meal plan? We're going to get you used to eating at the same times. These are things that you work with, and if so, how long do you or how often do you change meal plans? Because I'm thinking about me, like if I'm coaching somebody or myself, like. I'll get bored of like, yeah, I got chicken every night. Like, or is it for bodybuilding? Like, yeah, you got chicken every night. So what do you do, you know?
So during prep is so I think there's like two different sides of this, right? Like I have a guy who just started prep a month ago, and he's 3 months out right now. So we started about 4 months out.
You said 5 to 6 months is ideally for like a good prep.
Yeah. And he was already
prep is losing and cutting and getting ready for the show.
Yeah, exactly. So we spent, we spent probably at least 6 months gaining, and he had definitely had some newbie gains, cause he stayed pretty lean, but he got big. But like we had a lot more flexibility in that process. Right. I gave recommendations, what foods eat, you know, try to choose like your staple proteins and carbs, cause you know what agrees with your body more than anything. But for the most part, it's like, hey, well, we got calories to hit. We got hard training to do. That's all I care about. Yeah. And then when we switch into prep, we just slowly but surely go into a meal plan with macros included. So he still knows his daily macros. So like on a Saturday, you have a team event and you can't hit your meal plan. You shouldn't have three meals instead of five and enjoy what you want. Just fit your macros, right? Mm-hmm. We still have those numbers to play with. But if, you know, 5 or 6 days a week, we're following a meal plan, it's going to be way more standardized. And it's going to be easier for me to guarantee a result. Most of the time when people step into a prep, I never hear them get bored of food, honestly. Like
they're just happy they're eating.
Yeah, it's just like you just get used to, like, I don't know, you're in prep. You're in a different mindset. I don't know how to explain. Like, as soon as you get into prep, like, you're just in a different headspace.
That's how I am with running. Like, when I know there's a race that's happening, it's like, yeah, we're going to go running. I'm going to go, like, Megan and I did that 26 this weekend. It's like, yeah, dude, we're going to go 4 hours. Like, that's just what we're going
to
do.
Yeah, so I don't think people have issues with it. But then there's certain foods that are easy to swap in and out, right? Like for example, berries, almost all of them are going to be, blueberries are going to be a little bit higher carb for 100 grams, let's say, but that's easy to adjust, right? So like 100 grams of berry of choice, you know, it doesn't matter. Like switch them every week. So this week, blueberries, next week, blackberries, next week, like just change it up. It doesn't matter. Zero calorie condiments changes it up. Seasonings that have no calories change it up. Like, but like your staples should always be your staples. You know, if after 6 weeks straight, you're like, dude, I can't have another chicken breast. Okay, let's switch it. Ground turkey, ground beef, whatever. Like, that's fine. And then you stick with that for a prolonged time. That's fine too. And again, there's no magic food in this. It's solely based on the less we change day to day, the more consistent all the trends are across the board.
That's literally what I was hearing you say. Cause I was like, hey, you're not necessarily saying that, like, you know, you should only eat chicken breast. The bros are always chicken breast, rice, broccoli. Every bodybuilding thing that I can remember when I first started was like chicken breast and rice and the dudes with their containers. So what I'm hearing is essentially you say is like, or what I was hearing you say when you're talking was, it's not so much the thing being one particular food. It's like, let me just get used to eating this food on a consistent basis so I can measurably see what my body is going to do with that food that's in my digestive tract and how I respond, like, you know, like with aesthetics and like physically and stuff to that food.
Yeah. And honestly, it's even more so important with like carbs and fats anyway.
Yeah.
Because we want predominantly monounsaturated fats. Like if we look at the diet and there's too much saturated fat, that's an issue. If there's not enough saturated fat, that's an issue for hormones. So we have a good balance. We set that in stone. It's like, cool. Like you have 20 grams of nut butter. We're adjusting it to 15 grams because I'm dropping fat. Mm. Simple. You have X amount. You have two whole eggs. We're going to go to one because that drops 5 grams fat. It's really simple. Carbs, same thing. If you have X amount of white rice or oats or sweet potato or whatever, even bread, if you have four slices of the same whole grain bread and now we go, okay, cut one slice out of that meal, cut a quarter cup out of this meal. Like it's just so simple. And it's me adjusting and being able to say, if you do it this way, I can guarantee this is what's going to happen. Cause based on research, I'm adjusting by X percentage and that's going to drop your calories by X amount. And that's going to lead to X rate of loss per week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're stepping on stage. To me, I'm like, I want to guarantee that you do it right. And for me to have everything lined up to be predictable with the result, a guaranteed result, you got to have as much standardization as possible.
How about supplements?
Yeah. Supplements, not nearly as important as most people think. Typically like, as you get further in prep, the ones you're going to lean on most is actually going to be general health supplements because.
So we're talking multivitamin, fish oil, bingo. Zinc, vitamin C, or vitamin D, stuff like that.
Creatine too. Creatine is going to help you maintain muscle. You know what I mean? Because creatine at the end of the day is going to make sure that we're maintaining as much muscle as possible and keep water in there, avoid, you know, cramping, injury, all that kind of stuff. But
I think if I remember correctly, you mentioned electrolytes had some importance to it during that period. I'm sure when I'm losing weight, that'll matter even more too.
So,
right?
So electrolytes are going to help with a couple things, actually. One, sodium and electrolytes are going to help with keeping a pump. So you're like sodium is actually a glucose disposal agent. So when you have carbs and you're trying to get those carbs into a muscle cell, sodium actually helps the rate at which you absorb those carbs properly. So having sodium in the diet is going to help with that, but it's also going to keep your muscle hydrated to avoid cramping, injuries, strains. It's going to make sure you get a better pump. That's going to contribute to creatine helping as well, because creatine phosphate is going to get into the muscle better with carbs and sodium. But sodium, specifically because of iodine, is helpful for thyroid health. As you diet, your thyroid health is going to slow down. Like, sure, it's not going to be as good. And to keep your metabolic rate up, this is why bodybuilders take thyroid hormone as a drug, non-prescription, obviously, because it helps maintain their thyroid health while they lose body fat and get leaner and their metabolism is slowing down. So it's fighting against metabolic adaptation.
Do you see for male to female, do you see that it's more important for a female to supplement with sodium electrolytes and things like that during their prep more so than men?
I don't think so. I think it's equally important. I think it can seem as if it is more important for women because
I just feel like women, you always hear about women's thyroid tends to get more out of whack than anybody, especially clients that I've seen over the years.
So one, women have a more sensitive endocrine system. So their hormones are just more sensitive to change.
Yeah.
So they're more likely to be susceptible. So in that case, I guess, it would be more important. The other side of it is I think that the symptoms are more prevalent to women because the thyroid might be more important to some of the other female sex hormones that are predominant versus the male sex hormones being more on the testosterone side of things. It might not impact it as much. Whereas, like, for example, what can we do to help testosterone while you diet? Women don't got to worry about that as much, right? They do need to worry about it because their testosterone is going to drop, and that's an issue for women too, but the symptoms aren't as severe, right? So I think that's different. So it could be important for sure, more important for women. So sodium electrolytes are super helpful. Creatine, of course, fish oil, multivitamin, all that stuff, but all the vitamins and minerals that are going to be all of them are fat and water soluble, because the leaner you get, the less vitamins you're storing in your body fat tissue, which is how you maintain hormonal health for a lot of those. And then the ones that are water soluble, I mean, you're prepping. So you're drinking a ton of water. You're flushing out water through peeing all the time and through sweating on cardio, all those things. It just becomes more important to get those minerals in because those are going to be very water soluble. They're going to be depleted. So you got to maintain those things. And then caffeine as a supplement, because you get more fatigued as you go. And so you're going to lean on caffeine more, and that's fine. It's not unhealthy as long as you keep it within reasonable matter, but that's going to be a big help. Anything else is going to be illegal. To be honest, these are like, it's just out of discussion.
Maybe we won't talk about all the trend, and I'm not going to take trend.
I almost made a funny joke the other day when you texted me that. Yeah. You said like, as soon as this one's done, I'll do whatever you say, but you said I'll do pretty much whatever you say. And trend? I said, define pretty much.
You should have said it.
I was looking for a GIF and I was like, I can't find one. So
dang, they're out. They don't have the trend GIF in the iPhone.
I didn't type that in. I didn't know there was one.
Okay. So outside of that, what do you think as far as like frequency of training, duration of training inside of that, what is ideal? And I know that there's going to be kind of individual difference from person to person, like maybe what a new person should do versus someone who's been training for a few years. Like, but let's take my training age, you know, a lot of my exercise history, my dieting history and stuff like that. Like for a person, I would say I'm advanced general pop, right? I'm not like a high level athlete or anything like that. What do you think is a good amount of like training frequency? And then how long should my particular training age be spending in the gym to prepare for this body, this physique show, this prep?
My go-to lately for that has been 5 days a week. I think is perfect, man.
We're talking like bodybuilding or body part split. We doing like an upper lower, like
it kind of depends on the person, because I think that like, for example, like for guys, it's almost always push, pull legs, push, pull. If they're men's physique,
which is what I was doing before, correct?
Yeah. So you don't need more than one leg day if you're men's physique, and on top of you running, like we just don't need to put more mass on your legs. Like,
good. I don't love training legs anyway.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and it's very fatiguing. They're the biggest muscles, let alone when you're 6'5", your legs are long, dude. Like, that's a fatiguing training session. So we don't need as much of that. Now for women, I might be doing a legs, like a lower push, pull, and the pull might have a little bit of glutes in there, and then like a rest day, and then another leg day and a push day or something like that.
That's funny. The girls at the gym right now are like just training like glutes and hammies and quads. Like, I feel like they're doing it every day, but they're probably not. But
even for my competitor that just went on stage, it was, well, I actually showed Shannon the picture. I was like, who do you think like has it And she didn't know like which one was my client because it's from the crowd and she doesn't know my client like that. And she pointed her out of everybody in both shots. And on the back shot, it was so clear that her glutes were bigger and better than everybody else's. And it's because we trained glutes 3 times a week. But for her and for most females, it's easy because I can go, okay, we're going to do like a, basically, it's almost like a lower, upper, lower, upper, lower. But two of the lower days are all legs. One of them is pull slash. It's almost like a specialization day. It's like we're going to hit glutes and then we're going to hit on a couple muscle groups that you need to work on. And then the other 2 days are push pull. So we have a full push day, chest, shoulders, triceps, a full pull day, all back and biceps. And then the middle leg day is going to be glutes. And then maybe they need more rear delts. Okay, we're going to work on that, you know, whatever it is. And so for guys, it's similar, push pull legs, push pull, because if we need to work more on your shoulders, then I'm going to have some shoulders in the pull day. You know what I mean? Like, I can sprinkle that in. If you need more chest, then we're going to do more chest and less triceps. I can put triceps on the pull day. Like, we can play around with it. So there's no perfect split. But the 5 days a week to me is great because it allows a lot of volume and most importantly, specific volume while still having 2 days off the gym, which gives a good amount of recovery. And then you can really push it. Because if you're doing 6 days a week, you just can't recover enough to really push it hard enough in the gym. And then when it comes time to prep and we need a lower volume, we can keep a 5 day split so that you're consistently in the gym, which I think is good mentally. You're in prep, let's be in the gym constantly. Just be in that mindset. But we just dwindle the volume down. Yeah. So it's like you have less per day. So your sessions, they might be shorter. They might not be because you might be taking longer rest periods as you get tired in prep, but it's lower volume. So it's not as you know, fatiguing versus if we went to a 4 day split at that point, the sessions are longer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And that's good context too. So to kind of close this thing out, I love frameworks. I love to think of things through processes. So I'd love for people to be able to come to this show and be like, okay, what are, like at the gym, we have pillars that we think about with all of our clients, accountability, nutrition, and training. Those three things can pretty much change the world for most general population people. So for like people coming to bodybuilding or a physique competitor, male, female, doesn't matter. Like, what do you think are like some good pillars of focus for a person to, and hopefully I'm explaining this question well enough, good pillars of focus to give attention to before stepping on stage? You know, could it be like, you know, volume, meal plan, whatever it may be? Like, what would you say are 3 to 5 easily digestible pillars that a person could focus on to be as prepared as possible for their first physique show?
Yeah, I think the first one is timeline. So like looking at a physique competitor specifically, that's the first and most important thing. When is the show? So how long do we have to prepare? I mean, how long do we have to prep for prep, right?
Are you like writing this thing out too? Are you in like a Google Sheet or do you just kind of have this mentally in your head?
This all goes into a Google Sheet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that way I can break everything down and then they can see it too, right? It's like, okay, here's on the calendar, here's your show. Here's, you know, phase one, here's phase two. Phase one is what we do before prep starts. Phase two is prep. Phase three is post prep because we got to reverse. You got to do it right. Even if you don't want a super slow, long drawn out one, or you do want a slower one, like there's gotta be some process afterwards. Otherwise you're just gonna blow up. So there's the timeline in proper, you could call it periodization. I like calling it phasing because I think periodization gets sucked too much into sport.
Sure.
And phasing is just like, it can be very broad. Not like any phase can be longer than the next. They have to basically be sequential, right? Mm-hmm. So we have the phasing and the timeline laid out. The second pillar would be standardization. So before actually getting into prep, I need to spend time with the client, right? There's got to be a priming phase. You know, even if it's only 2 weeks, that's okay. But ideally a whole month or more. A lot of my clients that start prep with me, I'm with them for a couple months before they actually start prep. And so we'll do a solid period of time in this, you can call it a primer phase or a holding phase, a health phase. But this is, to me, this is like, it's all about standardization. If you're getting on stage, you know how to eat healthy. You already live this lifestyle. I don't need to teach you about some of that stuff. I need to make sure everything is set. So we might start with some cardio, even if it's 1 day a week. I want to know what treadmill you're using, what speed you're using it on, what incline you're using. Like, we
control the controls.
Control the controls, right? Your diet, same thing. If we're measuring, how are we measuring? If we're eating a meal plan, what are the main sources of food that you're consuming on a regular basis? If you have a free meal or a date night or whatever, okay, let's get that into this approach so like everything's locked in so that we know this is a factor and I'm probably going to remove it at this point in the prep, you know? But we have the standardization phase and that's for training, nutrition, supplements, meal timing, your schedule, everything. And then I would say the third pillar, and this would probably be the last one, is just your lifestyle and environment, right? Does your wife or husband or kids or coworker, whoever you're with, do they know you're prepping? Because they should. Do you have the environment, the sleep routine, do you have the tools? Do you have like the stress management? Do you have everything you need in place to where like you can actually do this without it throwing you off constantly? Because we know there's like times where people are in this like limbo where they can't ever really get the ball rolling because something gets in the way constantly. It's like, okay, well, we either have to figure out what's going to get in the way ahead of time and figure out how to keep going when those things happen. Yeah. I mean, if you're an entrepreneur, this is life. You know what I mean?
Get used to it.
Yeah. And if not, then should we wait for a period of time where you don't have those variables being thrown in, right? Usually you don't have to wait. It's just understanding what those are. But in general, it's being able to look at your lifestyle, your routine. It's like somebody's like, all right, I want to prep, but I'm only sleeping 5 hours a day. I never drink enough water. You're like, okay, like change your lifestyle a little bit. You know, let's form some habits.
I feel called out right now. We've had the sleep conversation before.
And look, like, I mean, I don't want to say this because most people would be like, isn't sleep the most important? Like, look, I didn't get 7 hours a night when I prepped. Sure. I still don't. Like, I don't believe that you need that. A lot of research on like fat loss per se and sleep actually will show. It's like, yeah, sleep deprivation, it's not going to let you lose fat and all that stuff. But sleep deprivation is like getting 3 to 4 hours a night. Yeah. Like, I'm not getting enough sleep, but I'm sleeping 6 hours. Like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, of course there's a difference between 4 and 8. Like, what's the difference between 6 or 7?
There's so much in the I feel like the nutrition fitness space. Like, it's almost doom and gloom. Like, if you're not sleeping 7 hours a night, you're gonna die, basically.
I think it became more popularized, and this would be a completely different podcast. Yeah. I think it's a scapegoat for coaches who don't know how to build consistency and resilience in their clients. They don't know how to connect with the client or get them to adhere to their plan. They don't practice what they preach, so they're not a role model for their client, and they don't know how to adjust a nutrition plan or training along the way. Like, they don't know how to coach well enough, so they go, it's your hormones, or you're not getting enough sleep. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not me. Yeah. It's that thing. No, come on.
Yeah.
Like, look at pro athletes. You think pro NFL players, they're on the road and stuff, you think they just get 8 hours a night every night?
Yeah, you think Kobe was sleeping that amount of sleep every night?
Hell no.
He was in the gym all day.
4 a.m. shooting.
Yeah.
Like, come on. He wasn't in bed by 8 p.m. every night.
I see, when I see, you know, the Jockos of the world, the David, they're out running, yelling at the camera at, you know, whatever dark 30 time they're up. Yeah. I'm like, there's no way that dude slept.
I didn't
hours.
Even sleep last night.
Yeah, stop lying, dude. Well, cool, man. Cody, I'm excited, dude. I got to tell you, like, this show is because of you. Like, I was totally inspired by you last year. Number one, it's cool to see like your best friend doing something awesome. You know, I loved it. I loved being there. I loved it that my son got to come. I got to sit next to your amazing wife and child and like just be a part of like you doing your thing. It was so cool. It inspired me. I was like, man, I'm going to go do that, because number one, it scares me, because it's just, you can't, your body will literally show if you do not exercise maximum discipline. So it scared me enough. And the minute I felt scared, I was like, I think that I probably told you like a couple of days later, like, I want to do a show.
Yeah.
Because I felt the fear from it. And I was like, that's why I have to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it inspired me, man. So this is, and now we've got people at Virtuous that are doing it too. That's you, that's your leadership, like making its way into my business. So that's appreciate so cool. that. So it was only natural when I decided that I wanted to do that thing that I was going to ask you and I know you don't take on a lot of clients. So I'm thankful that I will do the best I can to make the most of your time. And I'm excited to do this thing. I'm excited to have you lead me through this process. So thank you for be willing, number one, coming on the podcast, but also being willing to lead me through that process.
Yeah, absolutely, bro. I can reciprocate everything you just said, outside of the doing the thing that I feel like that was happen. You. I feel like it's that was happen. You being like, does running scare you and make you feel
comfortable? No, not at all. I mean, now hearing myself, like, maybe I should have geared it towards that. Yeah. Although I'm telling you, man, we'll do that podcast
in 2 years.
I always have these thoughts of like, Cody and I are going to run a marathon together. We're going to do something together. It's going to be, not right now.
The only reason it wouldn't happen is if by the time I'm ready, you're doing something else.
Yeah.
You're not running anymore. So you talk me into because I'm on my, I got to finish this next show and then it's going to be the next thing, you know? So
I respect that discipline for sure.
And that's what it is, man. So I appreciate it. You giving me the opportunity to do it. And I was just pumped that you came, you know, you're like one of the only people I really invited outside of my wife. And, I was surprised when you texted me that, but I was pumped. And so I've been like, I've asked you like 4 times, like, when is that race again? Cause I'm like, man, let's get this shit over with. I want to start prep. Dude.
Two weeks. And then before the end of April, I told you I want to run that 100K.
Yeah.
I've got some endurance things that I'm going to completely put off into the following year that I've had like invites to and stuff like that, because this show, like I want to do, I feel like this is my opportunity to almost like fly the tailored coaching method flag, you know, and I want to do that justice. Like, even if I don't go up there and win, I want to go up there and be like, that dude had discipline.
Love that.
That dude did what his coach asked him to do at the very minimum. Anything else that happens outside of that that's cool, I'm totally good with. So thank you, man. Number one, I want to make sure that people can come and check you out. They can check out your content, any sort of plugs you want to make. And I don't know if you have anything coming out. We talked a little bit about stuff, and I'm not sure if any of that is ready to even be spoken about yet. But anything you want to plug?
Yeah, nothing's coming out yet. We're going to be doing some stuff to help coaches. That's part of, you know, me helping average people achieve above average results, live above average life. At a certain point, I have to tap into the coaches to help them do the same and recruit people to join this mission. So that will be in the future for coaches listening. Otherwise, Tailored Coaching Method or Cody McBroom, just search those up on social and stuff. And I give tons of free content, very similar to you, obviously, in my way of thinking and believing in all things in life. So if you like Cody stuff, you like Cody stuff, basically.
One of the two Cody's are going to give you something you need. All right, guys, thank you so much. Hope you enjoyed the show. As always, make sure to leave a review. And then if you came to the show, put us on your story, tag us in it. We'd love to engage with you guys. Thanks for coming. Bye-bye.